Gun owners are fuming over the newly revived legislative proposal published on Friday by the Civilian Secretariat for Police Services, the CSP, which could see changes to the law that would remove self-defense as a valid reason to own a firearm. This morning, we have a discussion around gun ownership, and we're joined on the line by Chairman of Gun Owners of South Africa, Paul Oxley. Paul, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning to you. Good morning to your listeners.
Thank you for joining us. We also have with us Claire Taylor from Gun Free South Africa. Claire, good morning and welcome to the program.
Assalamu alaikum, Yusuf, and to your listeners.
Wa alaikum. Thank you, Claire, for joining us, both our guests. We appreciate your time this morning. Paul, let us begin with you. Are there stricter laws for gun owners than criminals at the moment, and is it going to get worse for gun owners?
Yes, indeed. So gun ownership in South Africa is actually quite strictly controlled already. It strikes us as incredibly cynical from a police ministry that on the one breath, in the same week, cuts the budget for policing, in other words, to protect you and I by 3 billion rand, and increases the budget for VIP protection by 1.7 billion rand, for them to release under the auspices of the National Commissioner's admission that the South African Police Service has become an all-service agency which can no longer fulfill its mandate, its constitutional mandate of protecting the South African public. In the same breath, the South African Police Ministry releases a bill which seeks to remove the possibility of South African citizens defending themselves with firearms when the police can't.
Quite ironical. Claire, when we look at the situation, there was a survey in 2018 by the Small Arms Survey, and that revealed that there were roughly 5.3 million guns in South Africa, 3 million registered, and 2.8 million unregistered guns. Now, Claire, is it possible that criminals will really hand in their guns? And if that's not the case, is that not a bit of concern?
Yes, but I want to step back slightly and just say that, you know, at the moment, gun violence in South Africa has reached epidemic proportions. More people are killed with guns than any other weapon in this country. That's murder, murdered with guns. And in Gauteng province, more people are shot and killed than die in car accidents. So the bill is being introduced in the context of an epidemic of gun violence. It's also using our obligations as a country, our legal obligations to comply with international instruments to control firearms. It aligns with global norms, which show that the majority of countries do not recognize guns for self-defense. It's based on scientific evidence, which shows that reducing access to guns reduces the risk of gun violence. And it also adds a lot of clarity to the law that'll help with the enforcement of it. And so, in whole, it's a really important step forward to addressing the epidemic of gun violence in this country.
Yes. There's a message that comes through from one of the listeners. Maybe you can just respond to this because, you've spoken about the scientific evidence. Yes. One of the listeners saying that guns don't kill people. It's people who kill people.
That's true, but people who have guns are more able to kill people. If you're shot with a gun, one in three people will die. If you are stabbed, only one in 55 people will die.
Paul, are gun laws getting stricter meant to discourage more people from going through the process of acquiring a firearm, and is it working?
Yes, we think that is correct. We think that's accurate. We think that's part of the plan. We think there's an insidious effort to remove South Africans' constitutional rights to life and to defend their life by gradually squeezing firearm ownership into a corner. We think that by making it gradually more and more difficult for South Africans to defend their constitutional right to life, we believe that anti-democratic forces are at work to try to remove our rights.
Yes, certainly. So, Clegg, bringing you back into the discussion here, in terms of, you know, disarming or getting rid of the unregistered guns, which we spoke about in South Africa, how would that be possible?
Well, there are two ways. The one way is, of course, there needs to be mop-up operations of the existing pool of guns, particularly illegally held firearms. And that would involve police operations as well as assistance from the public to report those guns. But at the same time, we need to close the tap from which these illegal guns keep leaking. And one of the biggest sources is licensed gun owners in this country. Just as an indication, in 2019-2020, civilians reported, and this is reported, it's not necessarily the case, they reported the loss of 24 guns every day in this country. They are the biggest source of illegal guns. So if we can tighten up on legal guns in this country through a range of ways, which this amended bill aims to do, then we can start reducing the leakage of legal guns into the illegal pool.
Paul, if we remove, you know, self-defense is a reason to own a gun, will that leave ordinary citizens more vulnerable against criminals? And, you know, will that leave their lives at greater risk?
Of course it will. We all know that the South African Police Service, as has been admitted in Parliament, is overstretched. We know that they can't attend to crime scenes, or they attend to crime scenes after the crime has been committed, which means that after you've already been victimized, the only people that are present when you get attacked are you and your attacker. So in sausage time, as the police arrive half an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours a day later to draw a chalk line around your body, that's you. It's you and the criminal. So that your only chance is self-defense, and you have a constitutional right to self-defense, which this would render almost moot because you have no means to defend yourself. But just to backtrack a little bit onto something that Claire was mentioning, yes, there's a lot of firearms that are stolen from South Africans. So now, because firearms are stolen from South Africans, South Africans, law-abiding South African gun owners, are being blamed for providing those firearms to criminals. That's victim blaming. That's like blaming women for being raped. It's disgusting, and country South Africa ought to be ashamed of themselves.
Claire, your response to that?
Just a few things. You'd asked a very important question about the removal of guns for self-defense, making people more vulnerable. In fact, the evidence globally in South Africa shows that guns are not effective for self-defense. And Paul keeps perpetuating this myth, and we need to be careful about it. Firstly, to recognize that Paul, in fact, is a gun dealer, and so has a financial interest in ensuring that people buy more guns. But also to recognize that the research shows that a gun in the home increases the risk in that home, that gun owners are, in fact, targeted for their guns. So Paul's right is that their guns are stolen because criminals want guns, and that they're not effective, that there's a myth that they will make you safer. And what it does, that analysis does, is it diverts attention from other ways that we can make society safer, because guns are not the solution to making our country a safer country.
Now, Claire, in terms of gun ownership, we know that a person can own a gun for self-defense or as is for sports or for hunting or as a collector. Now, from Gun-Free South Africa, are you totally across the board for all purposes against gun ownership, or is it only for self-defense? Where does Gun-Free South Africa stand on this? As we know, that the current discussion from the legislative point of view is around self-defense.
So Gun-Free's entry point is evidence. And what we do is we look at what guns are being used most likely to murder, and it's handguns. So our focus is on that. Who owns most handguns? It's civilians who own them in the belief that they can use them for self-defense. It's a global norm that gun ownership for self-defense is not recognized. It's not explicitly recognized. So the removal of it from the Act aligns the law with global norms and standards and legislation. So we would not, our focus would not be on guns, for example, for sport shooting or for hunting, because we do not see those guns as being a particular problem at this point in time.
Claire, there's a message coming through from one of the listeners saying that a Twitter poll by Gun-Free South Africa said that followers voted 86% for a partner having a firearm for safety reasons. Is that not ironic?
Actually, what happened is that the gun lobby trolled us and sent out what they call a posse alert to all their supporters, and they responded to that and overwhelmed it, as they've done with other partnerships, for example, that we've had with Safe Spaces. They completely overwhelmed Safe Spaces as well and harassed and intimidated staff in that space.
Paul, we know you have limited time, so what is the way forward? What would you suggest in terms of, is the current legislation in terms of the process of attaining the gun and the current legislation in terms of, you know, gun ownership, is that sufficient, or do we need to move to stricter legislation but not entirely ban the ownership for self-defense? Where do you see us going to, because we do currently have a situation that is out of control in terms of murder, where we are amongst the murder capitals of the world, and most of those crimes are carried out by guns.
Well, in fact, not. In fact, only something like 15% of the South African homicide rate is attributed to firearms. The rest is by far the majority.
Can I just interject? That is lying.
No, you can't.
Okay, let me just clarify that the latest statistics do indicate that we do have 52 murders daily in South Africa, and 18 to 21 of those are carried out by a firearm, which is less than 50%. You may continue, Paul.
Thank you very much. I would appreciate not having a screaming harpy interrupt me when I'm trying to politely engage with you. So the problem seems to be that the police can't manage. Okay, so one of the things they can't manage is the firearms registry. So what's happened is the firearms registry has got completely out of hand for the South African police services, and they've been castigated in Parliament on a regular basis for not being able to clear their backlogs. So as they become more overwhelmed in the firearms registry, they lose control over firearms. So what's happening is the registry is breaking down, their database is no longer up to date, they're losing control over stuff, and because they're losing control over stuff, they're trying to find an easy solution just by wiping firearm ownership off the map. The legislation that's currently being proposed is not just against self-defense. It also, for example, eliminates Section 17 licenses, which are collector's licenses. So we have collectors in South Africa who preserve our cultural heritage. And it's not the white cultural heritage. It's everybody's cultural heritage. What people may not be aware of is that a large part of our cultural heritage rests with things like the War of the Gun in the Eastern Cape, where the Basotho defended themselves against the encroachment of colonial settlers using firearms, and it was known as the War of the Gun. And that was what led to the first firearms control legislation in South African history. It also led, by the way, quite interestingly, to the formation of a little organization which is now known as the ANC. So they were actually formed hundreds of years ago, or the War of the Gun hundreds of years ago led to the formation of the ANC in the late 1800s and the early 1900s, specifically to defend the rights of the black African people to hold firearms. So yes, the cultural heritage goes way back. So they're attacking the self-defense, they're attacking the collectors, they're attacking sports shooting and hunting. They want to limit firearm numbers of firearms, they want to limit the ability of people to reload their own ammunition for sport shooting purposes, which will effectively wipe sport shooting off the map. So this is a much broader and much more insidious thing, and it's based, we think, on the police's inability to control the central firearms registry. So our solution, which we've been promoting for years, is to simplify matters, remove duplication in the process, put the police in stronger control of the firearms that they do have on the registry, and allow them to go after the firearms in criminal hands, which are causing all the trouble.
Okay, Paul, we thank you for that. Claire, your final thoughts?
Firstly, to apologize to Paul, I thought he said 15% of deaths were gun-related as opposed to 50. It's not 50%, but more people are shot and killed than any other weapon, and it's not but to apologize to him for that. To just say that the law is based on international obligations. It's based on global norms and it's based on evidence. And so it's a really important and bold step by government to address the epidemic of gun violence in this country. Of course, all voices need to be heard. Safety and security are complex issues, but we need to base any decision that we make on scientific evidence that's published in peer-reviewed journals.
Okay, noted. Thank you very much for your time, Claire and Paul. Both of you have a lovely day. We appreciate the robust discussion.
Bye-bye.
Yes, those were our guests on the issue of ownership of guns in South Africa. And we had Paul Oxley, Chairman of Gun Owners of South Africa, and Claire Taylor, Gun-Free South Africa. And the discussion was quite robust on the issue of guns. Those who are for guns are very passionate about it. Those who are against guns are very passionate about it. And that's why it makes a healthy discussion. Where do you stand on the matter? I still personally, you know, try to figure out for myself, where do I stand on the matter? I'm more inclined to a gun-free South Africa. A country without any guns, if that can be achieved. It's obviously difficult because 2.3 million guns are in the hands of criminals. Many of the guns that are taken away in a legal way find its way to the gangs in the Cape. Police have, you know, released these guns to the gangs, and that's why the gun violence continues. But, you know, if you could get a situation where you totally rid the country of all guns, that 5.3 million guns that we're talking about that are, you know, owned in the country, 3 million are legal, 2.3 million unregistered guns. But if you can reach a situation where all guns are wiped out, all 5.3 million guns are brought into one big melting pot and it's all thrown in and it's all melted away, I would be certainly in favor of that.